Sup Dogs Podcast. I was going to leave that playing on in the background. Been wanting to do a podcast for a while. I know I say that every time. It's probably been 3 weeks since I did the last one. And my oh my, such a lot has happened. Let me start at the beginning. So, my wife is having a baby. We found out recently. And then the very day after we decided to tell everybody, I had a car crash. Somebody ran up the back of me and squished me into the car in front. So my car got pretty well destroyed. But I was okay, nobody was injured, thanks for asking. And then we bought a new car, so I've got a really nice new car now. And other than that, things are going swimmingly. What I thought was interesting about all these events is that I didn't really seem to be too fazed by any of them. Well, I was really excited, obviously, to find out that Vinny is going to have a baby, but when I got hit by a car, I saw it coming about... Oh, the cat just turned the printer on. I saw the car about to run into the back of me about a split second before it happened. And then I got out and asked them if they were okay. And then I talked to the police and then I got the car towed and then I got a lift back into town with the tow truck. And the whole time I was pretty cool about it. Didn't really bother me. We were pretty lucky. We found a car quite quickly and we were able to buy a demo. But the demo was in pretty good condition, so we ended up getting quite a nice car rather quickly. There's a lot of ups and downs, and I think probably that many ups and downs in the 1 week would probably have affected other people and even myself a while ago, more than it did, but I just took it all in my stride, which was pretty cool, and it took the focus off work for a bit. I reckon I'm now finally back into the swing of working full time. I know my way around my job again, and life's sort of plateauing. So enjoy doing these podcasts as a bit of a commentary, and I think at this point I am achieving what I set out to do in episode 1. I think I'm getting better at talking. Not much better, but a bit better anyway. So as you might have figured out, I don't have a whole lot to talk about this podcast. But I thought I would do one anyway, just to keep the theme going and so I don't get out of the habit. I really like the idea of podcasting. I probably should have picked a topic and done a bit of research, like I did with episode one, so I had a bit to talk about. But I didn't, so I'm going to take this podcast in a pretty cruisy direction. I'm going to have some songs playing on the background as I talk. And I'm going to do a bit of research and look up some things and just talk about them. So the first thing you need to, the first thing I thought I'd tell you about is this really cool thing I found on Twitter. You should be following me on Twitter, by the way. My handle is at Pufferfush. I've only got 37 followers. I think I used to have 38, so I've actually lost one. I don't think I've got any new followers through this podcast as yet. But that's okay, because I'm not really advertising it. But who's that? Who's Eliza Dushku? Anyway, follow me on Twitter, and then if you look at the list of people that I'm following, about the third and the fourth person down, I'm following some Japanese people, at latte_artist_JK, and at George_10G. You should definitely have a look at their pictures that they post. That's really cool. They're Japanese baristas, and they've posted all the pictures of the latte art that they do, and some of them are just incredible. Some of the artwork they've done in the top of a coffee is just unreal. You won't believe it till you've seen it. Some of them are even probably better than pictures I've seen on paper. But I can't take credit for finding them. I follow another person. I follow at I Love Coffee JP. Now that's that lady has ties to the oatmeal. They're quite a popular internet thing. So that's how I found them. But you should really check out those pictures. I've been roasting coffee, on the topic of coffee. I've been roasting it in a popcorn machine. I've probably done three full batches. In each batch I do about four runs of about 60 grams per batch. And I have to say, I'm pretty pleasantly surprised with the results. I'm getting some really good results, actually. So much better than I thought I would get. I thought wouldn't get anywhere near the quality of roaster coffee that you buy commercially, like at your Campos or your Gridlocks. I always find it funny when people on the telly, they go, "Oh, you have to watch out for your Campos's and your Gridlocks." They talk about them as if there's more than one. Like, there is only one, so just say, not instead of your Campos's or your Gridlocks, it should be just Campos or Gridlock. Ridiculous. I just stuffed up the playlist. Anyway, I'm just I'll just continue playing stuff in the background. Just random bits of music as I'm talking. What else can I talk about? Not much, really. It's going to be a really boring podcast. I don't know if I'll upload it. I might. But I might not. So I've been rollerblading a fair bit. That's pretty fun. Still rollerblading. Doing a lot more street blading than I am park blading. Park blading is pretty fun, but I don't really like falling over. Street blading, on the other hand, just cruising around the streets, just freedom of movement. It's lots of fun. I like just cruising around and going backwards and doing the odd 360 and just having fun. The whole point is, instead of working so hard on set lines, like going towards a box, jumping onto the box, grinding, jumping off the box, then repeating and trying to do different grinds, you're never in the one spot. You're just cruising around the street and you're not trying to perfect a sequence of moves in any one area. The idea is just to be free and move around from area to area and do whatever movements feel natural at the time. If going backwards feels natural for a particular section of street, then you go backwards. Or you feel like jumping up on the wall and down again, you can. But the whole point's not to perfect the series of motions that can be recognizable as tricks. I quite like that idea. There's a lot less pressure on landing stuff and a lot less pressure to try stuff that could result in you falling over and hurting yourself. Just actually cruising around is a lot of fun. I still have to go cone skating. I bought these cones. I bought 20 little, they're about 3 inches high, plastic cones to practice some slalom moves. I bought them just cheaply, so the idea would be that if I was skating around, I'd just lay the cones out and then I might practice my foot movements, and that would get me better at controlling my skates, develop my skating skills in another dimension that I've never really explored. But I've been hard pressed to get out and actually use them because I don't really want to cone skate as a complete noob on my own. I'd like somebody else who appreciates skating to be there, so at least we can laugh at ourselves rather than passers-by laughing at me. So I'm saving cone skating until I can convince somebody to come skating with me. Hopefully it won't be too long. Now for another topic that I would like to talk about, but I can't really give you any specifics. Because I'm sworn to secrecy in a strange way. But recently I saw on social media something that I was involved with that had a successful outcome broadcast to the entire world. by a rather well-known organization. And I'm not mentioned specifically in the post, but I know I was involved, and I know I had a big part to play in the success of the thing they're posting about. And it's a nice little reward. I think it's better. I feel more rewarded knowing that I was involved than everybody else knowing I was involved. So I'm not particularly interested in everybody knowing that I was involved and saying well done. But I just like that I was involved. I like having that knowledge. And no one else will ever know. Which I think is pretty cool. So my new car, it's a Mazda CX-5. It's very nice. It's sky blue. It's a manual. It has power everything. Power steering, 4 power windows, power mirrors, ABS, hill start assist, traction control, dynamic stability control, tire pressure monitors. It's got a touch screen audio system. It has a reversing camera. It has Bluetooth connectivity, so I can just have my phone in my pocket and I can talk to people through the car stereo system. And it also has proximity key start, proximity ignition. So I just keep the car. I don't actually have to put the key in the ignition anymore. I just have it in my pocket and I press the start button. It's very luxurious. But one thing I think is ridiculous is that most manufacturers these days, they're going to build a car, they build various models, so you have your base model and then you have your model up that's a bit more luxurious, and then you have your next model up that might have, you know, the model off the base model have, you know, like alloy wheels, leather steering wheel, etc. And then the next one up might have parking assist, parking sensors, lane assist, all that kind of thing. Just put that all in the base model. Just release a single car model. But what really bugs me is that you can only get the only model you can get it in manual is the base model. So if you want trimmings like alloy wheels or all the other power stuff I just mentioned, you have to go the model up and drive an automatic. Stupid. Learn to drive a manual, it's so much more fun. You actually feel like you're driving the car instead of just pushing the go button and have it take you to where you're going. Rant about cars, car models, tick. Another interesting thing that I heard about recently is that one of the ways you can describe the taste of coffee, there's all these different descriptors for various tastes of coffee. I might read some of them out to you. And then the funniest one I'll save to last. So, okay, so you've got a cup of coffee, right? You can describe all the various flavors within in certain terms. So it starts off, you've got three main categories. You can call it a lighter roast, a medium roast, Okay, so depending on whether you're dealing with a lighter roast, a medium roast, or a darker roast will depend on, will limit the number of potential flavors that could be within that bean. And so down the lighter end of things, you have flavors like big groups of flavors, fruity, herby, flowery, nutty, caramelly, chocolatey, spicy, carbony, and then resinous. I don't think would be very tasty myself. And then within fruity, you've got citrus, berry-like, and then within them, you've got lemon, tangerine. So you can describe big tastes, and then tastes within those big tastes, and then even smaller tastes within those tastes. And I reckon my palate has developed a little bit since I did the coffee episode and said that I'm not really that good at discerning different flavors. I reckon that I'm pretty confident in talking about the big groups, so I could identify fruity, herby, flowery, nutty, caramelly, chocolatey, spicy, carbony, and resinous. But I couldn't then, within nutty, for instance, separate malt-like or nut-like. Or then within malt-like, separate corn and barley. Even as early as a month ago, I don't reckon I believe anybody could do that. Except for Matt Preston. But having come this far, who knows, maybe I will continue to progress and get to that point where I can split those flavours up even further. And with that in mind, I have booked with a friend of mine, Matt, a cupping course. So we'll go to a popular chain of coffee manufacturers and they're going to teach us how to compare different coffees on an even playing field, i.e. cup a certain coffee. And then hopefully they're going to teach us a bit more about the flavours and how to discern them. And also a bit about the flavour profiles of particular beans, you know, from particular regions and whatever. And I hope it's pretty helpful because we're starting to do our own roasting. So far we've roasted two beans. We've roasted a Peabody and a Colombian. Oh, the Peabody's from Papua New Guinea. So one lot of beans we've had from Papua New Guinea and the other was from Colombia. And they're different. And I think I'm okay at telling some of the flavour characteristics of each. In fact, I sort of described the PNG before I looked up its flavour profile, and I wasn't that far off. I had a sip and I said it was quite thin and very flowery, and that was its flavour profile.
Right.
That's just the big groups though. I mean, I couldn't get down to the small flavors. I don't really know what else to call them. Here we go. So, I can't find the. I'm just looking at PNG Peabody. So this is how it's described. Balanced, richly flavored and fragrant. Um, Smooth, full-bodied cup, rich, nutty flavour. Oh, no, I don't believe that. No, that's different to the PNG Peabody we had. I think it's going to be pretty hard. But the flavour profile supplied by Coffee Snobs anyway, I was pretty close to in describing it. I like this song. So why you gotta act like you know when you don't know? It's okay if you don't know everything. True story. Wise words, Ben Folds. It's okay if you don't know. Note that. Alright, well, I've talked for a little bit. What I might do is, just after this song, I'm going to put on a song at full volume and try and introduce you to another band. And then I might come back after that. So, the band I'm going to play for you is... L1011. They're from California, I'm pretty sure. They're a post-rock band. They're a two-piece. They've got a drummer who plays a mix of live and electric drums, and they've got a guitarist / bass guitarist. And what really separates this group from other acts, as Triple J would call them, acts, not bands, acts, is their use of looping. So both of them will loop parts to the song, which I think is incredible to get two different people looping phrases that then don't go out of time for each other. It's amazing. But even more amazing is that the bloke on guitar plays the entire guitar parts on a double neck, so he'll play the bass parts as well. He's even got a fretless bass that he sometimes wails on. So the song I'm going to play for you is called My Only Swerving. It's off their first album. No, I'm not. I'm going to play you one off their most recent album. What's it called? Transitions. I've just got to whip this up on Spotify. So, alright, I'm going to play you off Transitions, the track Transitions, the title track. So if I could be a bit of a DJ, they're now both playing, and I'm gonna get rid of Ben Folds. Enjoy this. This is Transitions. More people should listen to this kind of music. Of a story than any music on pop radio with lyrics. I hope you get what I mean by listening to this song. I'll talk to you a bit. Thank you. pretty amazing when you think that that whole song was played by two dudes in one take, more or less. It's a studio version, so they probably did a little bit of overfill, but the vast majority of that song they could recreate live, which is just amazing. Yeah, compete with that, Rihanna. Okay, so now I think I will entertain you by playing a game of Tetris, and you can listen to the noise the keys make. Here we go, round one. 3, 2, 1, go. And time. So, I know what a lot of you are thinking. You're thinking, that wasn't entertaining. But to you, I would say, I'm a level 41. So, yeah, it was. well, I think I've crapped on enough in this episode, by which I mean I have talked aimlessly about nothing in particular. See what I did? I used words to give meaning to the word crap, which really doesn't have, well, it can be used in many contexts, but it makes you lazy because you just use that word instead of actually thinking about the words you should be using. Anyway, I'm now going to play my favourite song of all time. You probably remember in episode 1 or 2, I said I was going to play it, but then I never did, and I said I'd keep it up my sleeve for another day. This episode is That Other Day. By now, we've lost everyone who's not interested enough. And particularly this episode was quite disorganized, and I reckon of the people that will have started listening to this episode, only those who are truly deserving of hearing this song will remain. This song is my favorite song. It is by Explosions in the Sky. It needs no further introduction. Just listen to it. It's called The Only Moment We Were Alone. actually, this is a bit more of its introduction. It's called The Only Mate We Were Alone. It's from the album The Earth Is Not a Cold Dead Place, Exposed in the Sky, 2003. Hit me up on Twitter and tell me how boring this episode was, and because I had nothing to talk about. I'll come back next time with something important to say, a topic to talk about. In the meantime, listen to my favourite song, enjoy it, and tell me if you liked it on Twitter. See ya.